Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description. Hey, Brendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to the Dirt Sheet from Going, the Going In Raw Dirt Sheet, Larson. We got our dirt sheets in front of us. I've got my big Bubba mug right here. We've got a lot of info to talk about today.
Yeah.
We want to say thanks to everybody who's been hitting that download subscribe button. On iTunes, we're available. On the Stitcher, on Podbean.
Yeah.
This is sort of our supplemental podcast to the regular Going In Raw. This is the Dirt Sheets.
It's lightning round style, yeah. News stories.
News story. And we comb through the legit and not legit, because there's plenty of not legit out there, and we determine what you guys should know and what you guys shouldn't know. This is your one-stop location for that.
Yeah.
All right,
let's get to it.
I'm excited.
All right, let's do it then. What's our first story on Dirt Sheet today?
Going In Raw buys WWE. Are we going to buy the WWE? Apparently it's up for sale, Larson.
Is it?
Well, there was a conference call for, what is this? They're talking second quarter financials. Vince and company, Vince and his people, his money people,
yeah.
are talking to shareholders. Is that right?
I believe that's what it was. But yeah. Let's talk about some of the highlights from the call. And there was a report issued prior to the call. The salient highlights, at least for our purposes here. Revenue.
Yeah.
Their revenue was up 32%.
When business is good for them, it's good for us, Larson.
Correct.
Yeah.
Next. WWE Network reached a record, a high, 1.52 million average paid subscribers for the quarter.
And this is taken into account the standard WrestleMania drop as well. It's still at a record high. You remember when this first launched and they were like, oh my God, they've only got 700,000 or 3 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, once we get to a million, I think was the break-even point.
It pays for itself.
And everything after that is gravy. So they're in that gravy territory now, man.
And speaking of new media dealings at WWE, their digital media engagement is basically doubled, up 100%.
Yeah.
And social media engagement is up 39%. They are a huge deal on the Twitter and other social media platforms now.
I like looking at these because, like, the shareholders are permitted to ask questions afterwards. And that's what we'll get to in a second here about the possible sale of the WWE. And so this was the conference call where Vince was explaining the brand split to the shareholders. And not everybody, you know, they're not all avid Going In Raw listeners. And they're not all avid WWE watchers. They just have their money invested in the company.
Correct.
So they participate. And so they wanted to know more about the brand split. And there were questions like, you know, how has the brand split affected revenue? And they said, well, it just happened. So it's not...
Yeah, but he went to saying that now that they have they split into two brands, more talents are going to get more exposure.
Right. He even referenced the previous brand split.
Yeah, and that exposure could lead to increased licensing opportunities down the line, and thus more money.
Right. Exactly.
But let's get to the whole WWE up for sale thing.
So the question was brought up by one of the shareholders that you know, they said, hey, the UFC just got sold for $4 billion. And they asked them about that. They said, would you guys ever sell?
Yeah, and WWE CFO George Berrios, I think that's how you pronounce his name, responded, quote, this is according to Daily Wrestling News, they are always open to listening to ideas if that's what's best for fans and employees.
So anybody with sharp ears out there, well, you know, they got a couple. I wonder how much they'd be worth it. Because in addition to that, he said something along the lines of, and I'm paraphrasing here, the sale, the amount that the UFC went for, $4 billion.
Hold on a second.
Huh.
Didn't WWE buy UFC?
According to CNN, they did.
Yes.
Yeah. But it was WME, I believe.
Yeah, it's William Morris, wasn't it?
Is that who it is?
Okay. Yeah, William Morris Agency.
That makes sense. So he said, you know, that illustrates how much demand there is for live television. And that also goes to play with the brand split. USA, you know, they wanted more live programming. SmackDown was, you know, the obvious choice for that. That's why they've been stockpiling new talent. Shelton Benjamin's coming back. We've heard that, I don't know if you have this in here.
Oh, that Jinder Mahal's coming back.
Jinder Mahal's coming back. Carlito, Melina, they both expressed interest. They've expressed interest in Jeff Hardy. But there was something holding Jeff Hardy back beyond the fact that he's been deleted and beyond his TNA contract in February.
Was it his previous wellness policy issue?
Well, I think they said something along the lines of they would treat him. Oh, no. It was the fact that just like Kurt Angle, he wants a part-time deal.
Oh, yeah.
And right now they want the veterans on the road with the talent, with the young talent, to impart their wisdom and ways. Which in Jeff Hardy's case, I would imagine, would be sort of detrimental. It's a lot of learning by mistakes there. Maybe he'd have a lot to say, I guess.
Yeah, he probably could.
Yeah, I imagine so. I'm just joking. So anyways, Larson, do you think, is this possible? Would Vince ever sell the WWE? I think out of everybody in terms of like the Fertitta brothers and Dana White, that doesn't surprise me that they sold. You know, they bought this thing for $2 million and they cashed out at $4 billion.
Yeah, that's a pretty good return.
So that's pretty hefty. But with Vince, like this is in his blood, isn't it?
I wouldn't think they would sell a controlling interest.
Right, right.
Although I think right now, I thought I read a month or so back that right now Vince owns less than half the company. Someone correct me please if I'm wrong, but for the first time, he still owns a controlling interest, obviously.
I think the family owns a controlling interest, but I think his individual
is less than 50%.
I think I remember reading that again, if we're wrong about that.
Yeah, correctly. Please let us know. I'd be very surprised if the McMahon family ever gave up controlling interest in the company. Yeah, surprised.
Yeah. Triple H would pedigree any potential sellers because he loves this stuff. He loves this stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they know what they're doing. And the thing is, over the past couple of years especially, they've been building this thing so much more. And so, like 1.5 million subscribers. Like, Vince is 70 years old. Why would they ever need to sell anything? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. Like, it's in their blood.
Their YouTube channel is huge.
Yeah.
And they have millions of subscribers. Yeah. All the clips on there do hundreds of thousands, if not millions of views.
Yeah. Now, if it was the kind of thing, and it would be surprising even if this was the case, where if, like, a Viacom came in and they felt that, you know, being bought out could help the WWE being taken to the next level, and Vince would remain in perpetuity in some sort of fashion, which I don't know if those deals exist.
Yeah.
But, you know, if they felt that it was the kind of thing where the WWE would just live on and never, you know, and it would just do
But it nothing. Would have the security of being owned by a larger media company. Right, yeah, I mean, exactly. Like if I believe it's NBC Universal owns USA.
Yeah.
So if they came and said, okay, we'll buy you out, you know, the McMahon family can continue on in a leadership capacity.
Yeah.
That may happen. Yeah. But I'd still be very surprised if they
And you'd always
gave
be,
up.
And Vince would be waking up every day thinking, oh, they're going to kick me out. Yeah, I don't know. I'm out of touch. And, yeah, I don't know. So, it's really doubtful that it ever happened. But the fact is, in today's sort of corporate world where, you know, seemingly Disney is buying everything and, you know, Warner's is buying, everybody's buying, Viacom buys everything.
I was honestly surprised that they acknowledged the possibility.
Yeah, I know, me too. I know. Like, for Vince to sit there and allow somebody else to say that even, you know.
Yeah, it's pretty surprising.
I'm surprised he didn't jump on that guy and say, no, we're not for sale.
You're fired!
Right there in the conference call. You're fired! And all you shareholders are fired, Vince. I know you just fired me, but it's my obligation. You can't fire shareholders.
They own part of the company. You can't fire them.
Yeah. It is surprising to me, though. People, like, don't, like, I don't know. Like, some guy didn't know the brand split just happened.
Well, as you said earlier, I think some investors just have WWE as part of their larger portfolio. Yeah.
I just thought that every shareholder was just a big mark, is like a rich mark, you know?
I don't think so.
Anyways, let's see here. Next, very salacious story.
This is a story of interest to you, Steve.
Very salacious story right here, Larson. I wonder if she's into open marriages, which I don't have, by the way. Paige, big, you know, people like this kind of stuff. And, you know, we didn't report on the leaked booby. Because it's just, you know, more than anything, I looked at it. But I felt big. It was all over Twitter. I couldn't not look at it. I was like, oh, look at that. And it was just a nipple. But people love these kind of stories. Like, the weird thing is, like, Paige and Alberto Del Rio in the first place was always really weird. So the story is this. Is Paige now single?
Do you want me to give you the quick answer, or do you want to do the backstory first?
Give me the backstory first.
Shortly after...
How does it relate to her nipple being exposed?
I don't think it relates in any way to the nipple.
This is internet, and this is about a leaked nipple, so who fucking cares, really? But apparently, this was a leaked nipple that popped out when she was dating Brad Maddox.
Okay.
Don't know if that's true or not. Don't know?
Okay. Backstory. Following the brand draft,
yes.
Several outlets noted that Paige deleted Alberto Del Rio from her Instagram, I think it
so
was.
So you could say she publicly deleted him.
Correct. But...
Thank you, Ben Godwin.
But apparently they posted a picture together.
Yeah.
On Instagram. They seem
quite
happy.
The dapper couple.
They seem very happy, so it seems like, no, she is not single.
If the producers of the 007 movies are listening, Alberto Del Rio for James Bond, that'd be great.
That would be great.
That'd be money.
That'd be fantastic.
Yeah. They look, so apparently maybe there was some strife. There was something... I think I read it on Twitter first. God, I'm terrible at sourcing shit. But somebody noticed during Alberto Del Rio's interview backstage after the draft, he seemed a little out of it. And you notice he does kind of seem a little bit out of it. And it made me wonder, or made, you know, people wonder online, is this because they just drafted me away from Paige? What are they trying to do to my relationships here? And so... apparently, the brand draft or no brand draft, their relationship is muy, whatever the Spanish word is for strong. Their love is gigante.
There you go.
Grande.
There you go.
Oh, goodness gracious.
So let's move from people who...
I love the headline of this next one. Hey, it just says, no one likes Simon Gotch.
Well, I'm sure someone might like him, but it's funnier to say no one likes him. Moving from people who obviously are quite fond of each other.
Care about each other quite a
bit. To two people who are apparently at odds. Shortly before the draft last week, there were reports that Sin Cara and Simon Gotch got into a fight backstage.
Fisticuffs!
Yeah.
For realsies.
So throughout the week, more details have come to light.
Mm-hmm.
Including, according to the Wrestling Observer, during this fight, Sin Cara threw a full soda can.
An unopened
soda can at Simon Gotch. Other reports say that Sin Cara just punched him in the face.
Apparently, the lessons to learn here is don't fuck with Sin Cara. The current version. I'm not sure about the other 8 versions of Sin Cara there have been. You know, the guy, you know, he might be a botch fest, but apparently he can throw with the best of them. So don't, you know, maybe Simon Gotch said, my name's Simon Gotch and you're Simon Botch. And then Sin Cara said, no bueno, and threw a freaking soda can at him.
Apparently, Simon Gotch allegedly has heat backstage with other talents.
Really, nobody likes Simon Gotch.
That's what it says right here.
You think Aiden English likes him?
I don't know.
He's an artiste.
He is.
I don't know, man. Yeah, so Simon Gotch, he needs to be wised up. You gotta wise up. You gotta listen to your elders. Don't mess with Sin Cara.
Next. A follow-up.
Yeah.
On a report we did a month ago.
Yeah.
We're like real journalists now.
Yeah, we are.
About a month ago, on a video that also involved Paige.
Yeah.
We reported on a leak of the 2016 pay-per-view schedule for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
And some possible dates, including one right here.
In Sacramento.
We were supposed to get No Mercy on October 9th. But I noticed a couple of inconsistencies in this schedule. Namely, they had... Roadblock, which was the network special that preceded WrestleMania that aired earlier this year, happening in Pittsburgh on December 18th.
Right.
But prior to that, it was announced that TLC was going to happen in Pittsburgh on that date.
Mm-hmm.
Well, after Raw, or during Raw, this past Monday, they had a screen up on the Titantron saying, nope, Roadblock in Pittsburgh, December 18th, confirmed.
Yeah.
So... potentially, this leaked pay-per-view list could be legit, which means...
Did you look at... Yeah. Did,
we get No Mercy in Sacramento.
Important for Sacramento
October
fans.
October 9th, 2016.
Did you... did that include... Did that pay-per-view schedule, did that include the Backlash, the next SmackDown one?
Yes. On September 11th, yes.
So those are two things that have been confirmed on that sheet. We can maybe assume at that point that...
That it's legitimate.
The rest is legitimate. We had plenty of people in our comments on that video and on Twitter... Bunch of reports coming in saying, that a lot of the other dates had been confirmed, I think, like through some sort of European ticket master version or something like that. There are some other reports coming in. There are other confirmations on that. So it looks like it's from the mouth of the WWE itself. A couple of these have been confirmed. It's only natural to
see. So we're just waiting to get our SmackDown pay-per-view here in Sacramento.
Where will we sit? How much do you think front row at... number one, do we... Man, can we extrapolate
there
from
is,
there?
There is.
Is that going to be SmackDown or Raw?
It on the schedule, it was SmackDown. on WWE's, I read this too, tickets and event page, there is an item for No Mercy, but with no information. It just says No Mercy, I guess.
But the info, according to the leak, is that it's SmackDown?
Yes.
What's a drag?
It's still a pay-per-view in Sacramento.
Still a pay-per-view.
That's cool. We don't get those very often.
Let's see how much front row is going to be.
Probably several hundred dollars. Are we facing the camera?
If it's 300, are we going facing camera, front row?
It's going to be more than that.
I think we have to.
For Raw, facing camera is 500.
500? You're going to go to we're going to go to Raw? $500.
Not at $500.
Really? Not at 500 for
no,
front row?
I'm not of means.
Yeah. What if I pay for it?
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll do whatever.
Really?
If you're gonna pay for it, yeah.
All right, sounds good. We'll get Hilton to pay for it. There was also an NXT last night, Larson, and we do NXT recaps.
Yeah,
here on the show.
The major news to come out of this week's NXT was our main event, NXT Brooklyn, confirmed is going to be
Shinsuke Nakamura versus Samoa Joe. Yeah.
Now, I believe to open the show. Open the show, Shinsuke had a match against Wesley Blake.
Yeah, okay.
It was an okay match.
There are several things that confuse me about this. Number one, Blake and Murphy, they're not brothers. They're not identical twins.
No.
I thought they were literally like the same person, but separated. I thought they were twins. And then I find out, number one, that they split up. Number two, Wesley Blake is not Blake Murphy's brother.
No.
Murphy, what's
Buddy Murphy.
Buddy Murphy?
He's Australian.
I can't stand either of these guys, to be honest with you. And then Wesley Blake comes out to this really horrible, like, it's like a lullaby
song.
Yeah,
it wasn't a very good theme song.
It was weird. It's like they hit the wrong button or something. Anyways,
but
he comes out
I will say
different.
During the match, there was a couple of good moments, that, specifically when Blake was blowing kisses at Shinsuke.
Yeah.
And Shinsuke was catching him and sniffing, insinuating that they smelled poorly.
Oh, yeah.
And they threw him on the mat and stomped on him. That
I wonder
was funny.
If Wesley Blake has that thing where when he sneezes, it smells weird. Because I have
that could
that
be.
Thing. Maybe
sometimes
that's what
happens.
Shinsuke was referring to.
That could be.
Yeah, anyways, after the match, Shinsuke, of course, took down Wesley Blake with ease with a Kinshasa?
Kinshasa.
Anyways, Regal comes out and says, Shinsuke Nakamura. He says, Nakamura. He says, you'll be taking on Samoa Joe.
That Regal started up a little weak, and then you...
take on Samoa Joe.
You're on point right there.
That takeover.
That's pretty good.
I've already talked to Triple H.
That's pretty good.
It went off the rails there. So yeah, that happened. And then I like this, though. Later on, Samoa Joe was backstage. He was arriving finally there. Because Regal said, he said, Joe was supposed to... I thought Joe was going to be here today. And he wasn't. And then
yeah,
Joe shows
champ,
up.
As champ, Joe thinks he can make his own schedule.
Apparently he can. Nobody's going to challenge him on that one.
No.
Joe shows up, and he's interviewed by whoever the backstage lady is. I forget her name. And she's like, you know, Regal put you in a match. And Joe's response is priceless. He's just pissed off. He's like, there's no respect around here.
I know.
So
he drops such good promos.
Oh, he's amazing. Then he comes out, and he says, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura is not... a good opponent for me.
He's not deserving. He's not a deserving opponent.
Regal comes out. Samoa Joe continues to run down. Regal says, you and I will get together and we'll determine who I face.
A deserving.
With my approval.
Yes.
And then
Regal said, well, if you don't face Shinsuke at TakeOver, because that's your opponent, then it more or less is a forfeit, and he will be stripped of the belt.
Yeah, Joe says, fine, we'll do that. And then Nakamura's music hits.
No, Joe said, but if Shinsuke makes it
that's right.
To take over.
Yeah, he said, if I see him before then. And then the King of Strong Style comes out and does his little weird movements. It was pretty rad. I love Shinsuke Nakamura. He can do no more wrong. I can't wait because after we record this, I'm going to go look at my post office and box and see if that large shirt's in instead of the extra large. I don't get it. I usually am an extra large.
WWE shirts tend to run a little big.
It's too big for me. Anyways, we also had a sort of a re-debuting Billie Kay, because she had made her main roster debut to fight Dana Brooke.
Yeah, she filled in on SmackDown, yeah.
Filled in, exactly. And I think we both agreed that was probably because she had already fought Dana Brooke a bunch in NXT, and so they brought her up to give her a good opponent to get the rust off.
Yeah.
But Billie Kay, she looked new. She had like new stuff on. I think they're gonna push her. This is what I figure they do.
Yeah.
Her, probably the Blanchard girl. And Deonna Purrazzo will probably get a push.
Santana Garrett, she's been on NXT a few times, and she always gets a pretty good reception.
I like her.
I
like her. Yeah.
Push her as well.
Yeah, but Billie Kay went over.
Yeah.
So they're definitely going to
be they're definitely making a point of referencing her SmackDown appearance and saying that it's changed her.
Yeah,
She's got a taste of the spotlight.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, now our roster is depleted, so she needs to get a taste of the spotlight.
Yeah, she's our number two, well, I guess number one heel now, because there really isn't any other heel in the NXT Women's Division.
That's not saying much. Let's see here. Bayley and Regal had a backstage encounter, surprisingly not on the NXT Facebook page. It was actually on TV.
Yeah, and Bayley more or less said that she is ready for her rematch against Asuka.
I love Bayley because whenever she tries to get dramatic, you can tell she gets a little self-conscious, you know? So she's just best being her dorky self, not like being in dire straits. Then we had TM. What do you think about the Mighty Don't Kneel? What do you think about TM61? You know who they remind me of? They remind me of a couple of HR guys. They look like they work in an office building.
Yeah, I mean, they're not physically imposing.
Well, they're fit guys.
Yeah, they're fit guys, but they're not, you know.
I'm just saying their general attitude, like the aura they project is, we work in an HR.
Maybe they used to when they were in
that
Australia.
Could be. They're IT guys, something like that, yeah. They took on Rob Ryzen
and Adrian Nails.
I kind of remember what they look like. Okay, yeah. And yeah, TM61 beat them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I mean, they work really well together as a team.
Dude, can we talk about...
Yes!
Let's talk about this first, and we'll talk about that.
Okay.
Kota Ibushi. So, Blake and Murphy had sort of a falling out thing. You know, they had their falling out, and they were like, hey, I'm going to be my guy.
They've been doing this falling out thing between them for weeks.
And so, Buddy Murphy took on Kota Ibushi and lost, because they're going to push the shit out of Kota Ibushi, guaranteed.
He's great.
Now, let's talk about No Way Fucking Jose.
Man.
Like, a dude that we thought was, like, kind of just a joke. You know,
we thought it was his gimmick was a comedy gimmick.
Yeah, exactly. Right, exactly. That's what I meant. But he came out, he destroyed the Steve Cutler guy, who, by the way, was wearing the same gray denim vest that they put on Skylar and Hollis. So there's another one of those things out there. There's two of these things that they rotate.
I imagine it's something that's sitting on a rack in wardrobe.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. And then he proceeds to deliver a promo on Austin Aries that I was thoroughly impressed by. He was intense.
Riveting.
And at the very end, he said, I'm going to kick your ass. Oh my God, and it was fantastic.
He managed to be intense and serious while in no way downplaying his fun-loving character.
I loved it.
He managed to merge the two seamlessly. Yeah.
He said, all I wanted to do was to show you a good time. But then you had to turn around on me. And he said, I'm done being fun with you. I'm going to kick your ass.
That's not
exactly
what
he said. But yeah, it was fantastic.
You can tell they have high hopes for this guy.
I know. I thought he was coming in, like you said, as a comedy angle. But he could do a lot.
Yeah.
With that kind of mic ability.
And it seemed like his ring work is getting sharper, too. That match last night seemed good.
I'm telling you, man. Like, oh, man. I want him to go far. Because that was fucking rad. And nobody coming through right now has just the presence of his look.
Mm-hmm.
That look that he just has is so emotive.
Yeah.
It's so just charismatic.
Yep.
He's able to
project his charisma without having to say a word.
He can project it all.
And it's great.
And he connects with people.
I'm really excited to see where he's at a year from now.
I think we're both just like legitimately surprised that this was in him. So
I think we saw a little bit of that during the segment with Austin Aries when they were dancing.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. No, last week when he came out to beat down Austin Aries.
Right.
We kind of saw a little bit of it.
Do you see the dancing thing? See, this is the thing though. Dancing gimmicks always have a limit, so they need to play that down eventually.
I don't know if they need to play it down, because last night he managed to segue from being the dancing guy to being a guy that actually has far more dimension to his character.
Yeah,
I think they could keep the two aspects of his character and keep it seamless.
Yeah,
if he keeps going the way he's going, I don't think it's going to be a problem.
Hey, you know, nothing else, he can be the SmackDown champion. He'd be world champion on SmackDown. Because, oh boy, that's a thing.
I mean,
because,
you know, the dancing aspect of his gimmick gets the crowd involved and gets the crowd excited, but then there's also dimension to his character that they can use for storyline purposes.
Yeah.
It's great.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's it for now. We'll be back on, we had some fun lists going up this weekend. So check that out on our channel, youtube.com/StephenLarson. And of course, I want to say thank you to everybody who've been hitting that subscribe button, that download button, leaving reviews and ratings. We're climbing those that iTunes chart, man. I've been keeping an eye on it every single day. We're like in the 60s now. It's great.
It's great.
So I want to say thank you for that. And of course, thanks to all our patrons out there. You guys can check us out at patreon.com/StephenLarson. We've got all sorts of great rewards. You can check out live streams of the podcast. And you get all sorts of other, you know, rewards and whatnot for supporting the cause.
Yep.
So, yeah, I want to say thanks to all you guys out there. And until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.